make that money.
Get that bread.
Hi, I'm Celine Gabrielle.
And I'm JG Sackis.
This is Art. Okay, cool.
A podcast about life as an artist, specifically an emerging artist.
The ins and outs, the ups and downs, the day-to-day behind-the-scenes stuff.
The good, the bad, and everything else in between.
All right, let's go.
Hello, Celine.
Hello, Jade. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk today. We're going to be talking about monetizing our art practices.
Yes.
Are you excited about this topic?
Scary, fun, exciting, interesting. All of those things.
Scary is your first word?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe a little stressful to think about, like, oh God, how am I going to make money off of this thing? But exciting nonetheless.
Yeah, we're going to dive in. It's a really juicy topic that I know a lot of people are going to be interested in hearing about. So I'm excited to talk about that. But just a reminder before we jump in, we do this, well, we have fun, but also we do it for you guys. We want you to gain knowledge and information and, you know, hopefully it helps move you forward in your practice in one way or another. And so if you enjoy the podcast, please feel free to share it with your friends, share it on social media. I've been trying to like get a handle on social media. And so I created like this shout out post on our Art Okay Cool. So if you do a review, I'd like to start sharing the reviews with your art and give you a little tag in that too. So anyway, yeah, just a little, another little incentive, you know. So yeah, but before we get into all of that, Jade, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I kind of like surprised had the week off. Work at the CNC shop is just kind of slow right now. They're like a little bit in between projects. And because I am like the like least capable person there, like the end of the job has to happen for me to have a role. So what did I do this week? I don't know. I was like one of those weird weeks. I feel like I am still kind of recuperating from being away because I was just so busy. So what did I do? I like ran some errands, which doesn't sound that interesting, but for me that means I go into like the downtown core of Toronto, and it had been a while. Like I was checking out a few shops on Queen Street, so it's like always interesting to go into the heart of Toronto and you're like, whoa, I feel like everything's changed. Crazy. Has it been that long? Who knows? And then I had a blow slot. I don't know. I'm like tired. I'm achy. Am I just gonna be sore and tired forever? Is this life now?
I don't know. Okay, but wait a second. Back to the downtown Toronto stuff. So when I was there not that long ago, it seemed to me like there were more empty stores than there used to be the last time I was there, which was probably about a year or so ago, or actually it would have been, yeah, no, it would have been in 2020, like early, because when we were there for the art fair. So am I dreaming, or did it seem like that to you too?
Yeah, lots more closed. Yeah. I was on Queen Street and it's like all tore up from like construction. So on top of businesses being hit by COVID, I'm sure they're really feeling all of the construction too. So yeah, it's a bit of like a weird ghost town, but still tons of people. I don't know.
Yeah. And even, it's interesting, I sort of found that in Toronto, and then same thing when I was in New York. Like now New York was a long time ago that I was there, like 10 years ago or something. I can't remember now, but quite a while. And so I was just shocked at how many empty stores, and I think it's because of COVID, but I can't, you know, I don't know, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of the businesses have been impacted. So that's too bad. I'm sorry to see that, you know, but anyway, okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, so not too much. Still just like working away in the studio, trying to get all of that together. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, you might hear it in my nasally voice. I have a bit of a cold, which my adoring, loving, kind son gave to me as a gift.
Aww,
so that's so nice. Dude, I know, right? Shit. Yeah. So anyway, So it's been a weird week with like extreme like energetic spurts and then totally kind of crashing because I take pills. My husband is one of these like, no pills, because then when you're really sick, they won't work. And I'm just like, I have a headache. Where's the Advil? That's kind of like my thing. So I've been taking cold and flu stuff. And I feel like it has speed in it or something, because I feel like, no, seriously, I feel like when it kicks in, I'm like, Energizer Bunny. And then when it wears off, that I'm actually sick. So then I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. You know what I mean? It's like this weird high.
Yeah.
So anyway, that being said, I did get a lot of stuff done when I was in these like crazy high energy spurts, because there's a lot to do. So I had those, Nova Scotia has some grants coming up on Monday. So I've been trying to do my applications for that. And I still think I fucked them up. I think even after talking to the guy and getting the notes and the feedback and trying to do what he says, you only have like 2 pages to explain yourself and the stuff that he suggests. So anyway, you know what? I just said at the end of the day, I'm going to listen to what he said, but I'm also going to do what feels right and what makes the most sense to me. And if they don't choose me, they don't choose me. Like, whatever. I can't, like, one of the things he really wanted me to go into is like how I paint, what I paint, like that I paint on canvas and not linen. And I don't know, like I went into more detail than I had previously when he first saw it, but I don't know. I'd rather use that space to talk about the actual idea of the proposal as opposed to those. So that was my decision. So we'll see how it pans out. Anyway, they don't give you an answer. It goes in November. They don't tell you until February.
Yeah, that's pretty typical.
So it's a long ass time. Everybody will forget that I even applied by the time it comes around. So whatever. Anyway, so I did that. Then what else did I do? I started another painting. I've been working on my little secret installation project that's like a fun project for me. I was diving deep into social media this week because social media has been driving me absolutely bananas.
In what way?
The time suck way.
The
trying to be consistent, trying to show up. Social media has been very important for me and beneficial, and a lot of good has come from it, but I don't hate it. I just hate how much time I spend having to either think about what I'm going to post, what I'm going to write with the post, what photos I'm going to use, like that stuff.
You know what I'm on to right now? Because I'm like trying really hard. So since I was in Seattle, I've been trying really hard to post every day and like make reels every day. So I got myself into like reels tutorial Instagram. Like shifted my algorithm. So now I get a bunch of like tutorials. So they'll have like a trending song, and then on like the text of the video, it'll tell you like how many photos you need and how many seconds for each photo.
Yeah, I've seen
those. And then I'm just like plugging it in. And like, it's so funny because it almost seems like the less effort I put in, the more reach and the more successful the posts are.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's having that, like just finding those and then just like really barfing whatever I want into those slots, like quickly, not thinking too much about it. One, it's got me into the habit of doing it. So I'm like a little bit better when I have an idea of my own to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's like, I wake up, I do my morning routine, I post the reel that I made yesterday, and I start making a new one for the next day. And like, that's my rhythm with social media right now.
Yeah. And I get that. And I've seen all those tutorials and I've done that for a bit, but I guess my thing is like, even just like the clever little comments that you write, I want something that I can have as a tool. So I've just been working on like a document for myself that has prompts with like maybe like a little starter line that I can like reuse, because always constantly having to rethink things. And the other thing too is, for me, I'm only painting like 8 paintings in the whole year. So it's not like I do a painting a day where I can show something new every day. So I have to try to keep it interesting, even though it's a longer process to, you know, like I can't make here's my starting of my painting and my end of the painting in the same day. You know what I mean? It's like,
but this anyway, is the thing, so, though. This is the thing, though, is about like reusing your content. And that's also what I've been doing, because again, I feel like getting into this and doing it more consistently, I am seeing how bad the reach is. Like, even if I get views, I'm only reaching X amount of people. X amount of people were or weren't following me. So it's like, even if somebody follows me, I'm only reaching 25% of my followers with that content. Blah, 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 blah. So like, I don't feel bad about like using the same time lapse over and over again, using the same photos over and over again, just like rehashing it into a different and engaging way.
And that's what I've been trying to do too, is just like, all of that, just reusing, not reinventing the wheel. I think for a bit too long, I was just too hard on myself. Like, I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't doing it good enough. I wasn't da, 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 da. And honestly, when you really actually pare back and think about it, it's just like everything. You always suck at the beginning, but if you do it consistently, you're going to get better. So I think that's my problem, is that I wanted it to be awesome and it felt to me sucky, and I guess it felt average.
Yeah.
Which feels kind of sucky. And so I just wanted it to be really good, and I just wasn't feeling that. And so, but I've had to lay that down. And also, like, I was starting to look, because same, like, I think it's interesting that you're over on that side of TikTok, because I've been on there on everywhere, like, you know, your phone's listening to you. So as soon as you start diving into something, it's just throwing it at you. But then that's even more paralyzing to me, because then it was like, you need to post at this time and you need to do that. And then I just had to like, I just have to throw that away. I'm just going to post whenever I feel like it. I have to be more vulnerable in posting myself too, because there's that, you know, just being on camera. And then also I don't mind being on camera sometimes. And I know that's the know, like, and trust. Like, people like to know, like, and trust you, right? So I get it. I'll put myself in there. That's totally fine. Except I also want to be able to find creative ways to share my content share my art that I don't have to be in. And that, for some reason, I found, like, also thinking that I had to be in everything. And now I'm paring back and being like, you don't have to be in everything. Yeah, it's good to show up sometimes, but you don't have to always put your face in there if you don't feel like it. And so,
one last little thing is, like, a lot of the engagement that you're going to get, like, doesn't fucking care about you at all. Like, they don't care that you're you, they don't care about what you're doing, they don't care about your art. They just, like, see a video, like it, and they're like, bumps you up on the algorithm. Like, that's it. Like, they just think it's like a great trending music or like a funny thing, and then, like, you are in and out of your brain. They never check your page out. You don't exist to them. You're just like 7 seconds of their life that they just burned and threw away, right? So, like,
but that's the thing. Like, that's true to a certain extent. Like, that's true about social media, but that's not what I want. Like, I actually have a pretty good engagement with my followers. Like, actually am having conversations with people on the daily, and I really like that. So even though that's not the nature of social media, I understand that social media, because I do that too. I just keep scrolling. I don't like a lot of the pages that I, you know, double tap to like something. So I get that you're going to get a lot of that. But I also want to be there for the people who actually are paying attention in a more authentic, you know.
That's, what I'm saying is, that's how you get those eyes on you. Because half of it is like, being what you're offering, and the other half is like getting the engagement to bump you up. The more followers you have, the more eyes you have, the more likes you get, the more like reach you have, blah, 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 like all that stuff. So it's like, you're gonna get the people who follow you are gonna be there for you. And we talk about this before about how, like, when we lose followers, it's like, good, go away,
right? Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, like, part of it, it's like climbing the mountain to get to like a plateau where you're like, oh, okay, everybody's here. Hi. And then like the next, right?
Yeah. But you know what's so interesting too with social media is that I have found the few times that I have had something that is well performing in terms of like likes or comments or whatever is not when I get the most actual like followers or engagement or anything like that. It's always the most like vulnerable stuff is when I get actual people who actually follow. So yes, I don't know. I just always find that really interesting is like, even if you have something that thousands and thousands of people look at, that's not necessarily what get the people to follow through and become an actual follower or fan or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah.
Cause you think that's going to be it, right? Like you think, oh yeah, this will be it then. Cause look, thousands and thousands. And then no, not doesn't happen. So I don't know. That's why I think I've got to try to just enjoy the process, not overthink it, not overstress it, do it, share it, move on, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of moving on, shall we move on to our main topic?
Let's. How did we get here? Let's move on.
All right. So today we're going to talk about how to monetize our art practice. AKA make some moolah.
So like Celine said, to monetize just means to make money from. So there's a lot of ways to make money from your art. Some are more obvious than others. So we thought we would talk about some options that we have. So we're going to give you some details on some of the top things that come to mind. And we'll also share our experience with a few of them.
All right, let's do it. You want to kick it off?
Yeah, so one of the most popular ways or kind of most known ways are platforms like Patreon or Ko-fi. So what these are, they're kind of like monthly subscriptions that your fans or followers can sign up for. And it's basically a way for them to give you money to support your practice, to become a patron of yours.
Yeah, so my experience with this is really limited. I'm very aware of them. I'm not signed up to anybody's Patreon or Ko-fi, and I haven't ever offered anything. I've checked things out before, but I guess I've never seen one yet that I was like, yeah, I need to sign up for that because I need whatever they're offering, specifically Patreon. You're going to talk a little bit about Ko-fi because you know more about that.
Yeah.
But the only one that I've ever really checked out was Patreon. And as far as I can see, there's like different levels, right? So like you buy in at, I don't know, I'm just going to say bronze, silver, and gold, and they provide different tools, or sometimes they'll mail you stickers or postcards or whatever, different things, like physical things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's virtual things. But yeah, I don't know. I've never seen one that really I thought I need to do that. So I just haven't. What about you? Have you like bought into people's?
So I think I might be a patron of like one podcast. But okay. what my thinking when I thought to do it was that I really like this podcast. They're a small podcast. And it was something like $1 a month or something. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I'll help you guys out. I'm into that. But like you said, we'll get into a little bit deeper detail on that one, like Ko-fi versus Patreon. But basically, as you had mentioned before, it's like there are different tiers, different levels of membership. And you, as the artist offering this to people, you kind of get to decide what that means and what those tiers will be. So as you mentioned, things like you can be like a sticker club, a pin club. You can give exclusive content. So maybe you're like a YouTuber or you do like a lot of workshops or lessons. This could be a way to deploy those to a greater audience. You can also, you know, give promo codes to your patrons. You can give them early access. So there's basically like infinite ways for you to engage with your community on those platforms. But essentially what it is just a way for people to give you money just for being you because they want to support you, which is really, really nice.
But that, okay, I want you to talk. I know a little bit about what you've done on Ko-fi because what you just said is a way for people to give you money just because they like you and be nice. I'd be more inclined to be perfectly honest. I'd be more inclined to do that than sign up for something where I'm going to get a whole bunch of emails or like, I don't know, like sometimes That's my weird place with Patreon specifically, is like, I don't necessarily want the stuff, but I want to support the person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I feel like we should just jump into my experience with it now. Well, whatever. We're the bosses. We can do whatever we want. So, for me, Patreon basically only offers those membership tiers. So, as you were saying, each tier has a set price. It's a reoccurring monthly donation, monthly payment, monthly contribution, however you want to name it, call it, brand it, whatever. And you are offering something in exchange for those membership tiers. It's certainly the most popular platform, most well known. Another platform, this is the one that I use, and it's called Ko-fi, and it's spelled Ko-fi. And in my head, I always say Ko-fi. I'm like, no, it's like buy me a coffee. What drew me to Ko-fi versus Patreon in particular, there are lots of reasons, because I do think Ko-fi is a really good platform. I wanted people to have more flexibility in their chosen tier. So right now on my Ko-fi, I have two tiers because I haven't really like fully engaged with it yet. I haven't like rolled it out on my social media or to my newsletter. But I have two tiers. And the first tier is just thank you for being a friend. It starts at $2 a month. You can have a reoccurring payment. It goes from your bank account or PayPal to my PayPal. It starts at $2 a month and it's flexible. It could go up as high as you wanted it to go. And my second tier, and this is why I really wanted it, is called, I called it the layaway plan. So basically what this tier offers, in addition to like sneak peeks, promo codes, blah, 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 all the like behind the scenes stuff, what I wanted to do was offer people a way to support me right here, right now, little bits at a time, and also kind of set themselves up to make a purchase down the line. So in this tier, after you've donated for 12 months, I offer you a promo code for the value of your contributions minus a small processing fee. So it's kind of like you're chipping away. Like if you want to buy a piece, like you send me $20 a month. And then at the end of the year, I'll send you a promo code for the value minus the processing fee. And you can spend it on anything that I sell in my online shop. So it's kind of like you're saving up, but paying me what you're saving up. You know what I mean?
Totally. And so I like that. Like,
I did too. I thought it was a good idea.
Again, so that, like, that's so interesting to me the way you broke it down, because on the one hand, like you say, somebody could just support you, period, the end. Or if they love your work, but they can't really do it all in one chunk at one time, you know, it's like a layaway plan, right? They're like, see, yeah. So I think that's a cooler, and also, on the flip side, like from the administrative side, back to my bitching about all the work that goes into social media, it's like, it seems a bit more straightforward. Like these other ones, when they're emailing you, quote, special content or sticker packs or postcards, like, first of all, I just, again, a whole bunch of little trinkety things. I'd rather have like one of your originals than a bunch of little things. Do you know what I mean? And totally. Or emails or stuff, like I just give you money and just say I love you, I love all the stuff that you're doing, and so here's my $2 a month, $5, $10, whatever, like those options I just really like. So I think part of my resistance to these platforms has been the amount that I want to commit behind the scenes,
right? Yeah. And I think that's what's really great about Ko-fi as well. Like, so for me also in my tiers, because people are sending me that money every month, that moving forward is where I'm going to do the brunt of my second sales, my, any sort of like promotion, discount, whatever. I'm going to post there before I post anywhere else.
Right.
You know, if I have
VIP a little bit.
Yeah. Like if I have extra tickets to the artist project, that's where they're going to be offered first, because like, that's what if you're contributing money to my practice.
Yes.
That's another perk that I'm going to offer there before anywhere else.
Totally. I think that's yeah, that's a great, that's great.
And what's really nice about coffee as well, which Patreon doesn't have at the time of recording, is that people can just send you a one-off donation. So let me tell you, I have trouble asking for help, but I absolutely force myself to do it because I need help. And when I posted about coffee for the first time, it's just like, hey, on one of my stories, I think, or I did maybe like an Instagram post that I shared to Facebook. I was just like, hey, in the future, I'm going to have this page set up. I'm still working on it right now. But if you wanted to check it out, see what it's all about, here's the link, whatever. And so people can do one-off donations. So just from posting that, just to sharing that to my social media, you know, a lovely woman that I went to high school with and like tangentially through social media still stay in touch with, she sent me $100. Like one of my mom's friends who I haven't seen in like 20 years, like sent me $10 and was like, get a drink on me, you know, like, yeah. So just being able for people to just be able to do that as well. That's really lovely. And the thing is, it's secure because it goes straight from them to PayPal. So it's through PayPal as well. And right. You get the money immediately. Whereas when people donate to Patreon or contribute to Patreon, it goes to Patreon and then they pay you out minus a percentage.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And Patreon takes a 5 to 12% cut. And ooh. Coffee takes no commission. The only time that they take money from you is for if you want to upgrade to gold for a monthly fee.
Okay.
That said, PayPal does have transaction processing fees, but that's just the way that it goes. Your credit card has processing fees, all that kind of stuff.
That's PayPal, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So for me, coffee was the better fit. For somebody else, maybe not. Patreon, for example, works really well with sites like Discord. So if you're doing live streams, things like that, you might want to do Patreon because you can put that button and people can support you and subscribe through there. Coffee does work well with YouTube though, and also with WordPress. So
cool. One option. Next.
Next. What do we got? Next. What do we got?
Skillshare.
Yeah. So we have websites like Skillshare. So there are more than one, but this is the first one that comes to mind. And it's where you're just like, you create, you film, you make a lesson plan, and you do online classes. And the way that the monetization works for this is you actually get paid for the number of minutes watched by their premium students. So people sign up, they have a subscription to Skillshare that they pay every month or whatever. And then you as a content creator get between 5 and 10 cents per minute watched. So that means if students all over the world watch 10,000 minutes of your classes in the first month, you would earn between $500 and $1,000. 10,000 minutes seems like a lot though.
That's how it works. Yeah. I had no idea.
So one of the things about this style of workshop teaching classes is that this is just reoccurring income. You set it and forget it. You make your files, you do your videos, you set it up, and you just like let it roll, right? So that could be nice if you can get that following on there.
Yeah, that's interesting. That I the set it and forget it thing is interesting. The minutes watch though, because I'm like, you say, you know, 10,000, what did you say? 10,000 minutes? Like that's a lot of minutes. So
right? Like how many minutes? Like so many minutes. how many divided by 60?
Somebody needs a where's the calculator?
That's 166.666666 hours. How many days is that?
What did you say? 166 hours? Yeah. So let's say you do a class that's 1 hour and people actually watch it from start to finish. So you'd need 166 people to watch your class for between $500 and $1,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know about that because I mean, we're going to talk about some other options. We're going to keep going down the list. Because we have, well, actually, you know what? Do you have anything else to say specifically about Skillshare?
I have nothing to say about Skillshare.
How about Skillshare? Anything to say about that one?
Actually, I'm good on that too.
Okay, good. So just, we're going to skip over what's on our list here. I just want to sort of jump down to where we talk about workshops and classes. Mm-hmm. So you can teach classes, right? Either online or in person. And to me, right off the bat, I'm thinking, well, if I have like an Instagram follower or an email list, if I created a 1-hour class and had it as an instant download and could sell that for, I mean, depending on what you're selling and depending on who's, but, you know, depending on who your market is and what you're selling, I bet you could sell that, you know, $10 to $150. Actually, it's funny because social media, I was just actually looking at this woman who teaches a social media for artists, and she, conveniently enough, has a class you can download that's $150. So to me, I'm like, I get that the Skillshare is set it and forget it. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, $100 a pop, and it's still set it and forget it. Because if you pre-record it and you have it on your website, that when they purchase it, they automatically get sent the download, which most website platforms, I think, would enable you the opportunity to do that. I can't speak for all, but I know I use Wix, and Wix does let me do that. So yep. I don't know. Like, I think I might be more inclined, but I guess.
Why not both?
Well, yeah, why not both? Or the negative to that, I guess, would be is that the benefit to Skillshare versus just tapping into your own pre-existing audience is that you're not reaching potentially a more global market, right? Like on Skillshare, there's ads for it everywhere. It's all over the place. So you could potentially get a broader reach, right?
Yeah. But I mean, there's no reason. I mean, there's not really any reason not to do both. Like,
yeah, that's
You could have the one on your website for $150. And if somebody subscribes to Skillshare and finds your thing, they find your thing, right? Like, there you go. You found it. Good job. That's part of the benefit of having a subscription to Skillshare, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. So more about workshops and classes. So I know, prior to COVID, you were doing a lot of teaching.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, teaching was like my main bread and butter for a long time, for about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, it was. It's no longer a thing. I feel like that relationship has kind of fizzled out. It's been like weird since the pandemic. We don't need to get into it. But I'm not, it's like, I don't know, so strange, so strange. Yeah. If you know me, you're rolling your eyes right now because you know all about it, but whatever, yeah. It's fine. So yeah, I feel like I've kind of moved past that. That chapter of my life has seemingly come to a close. So that's fine. I am kind of, this is like another booger boots thing too, like, I am kind of teaching at the new place that I'm doing my residency, but the pay is tragic, and I kind of let them guilt me into teaching for the fall, and I was like, I literally cannot afford to teach at this rate. I'm basically losing money. I will do the fall workshops, but beyond that, I truly cannot afford to work for this little. I'm sorry. It's not cute. It's not going to happen.
Wow. That's too bad.
Yeah. But if you love teaching and you can find a good pay rate, it is, it's good. Like, I really love sharing my craft with the world. What about you?
Yeah. So I've done a little bit of teaching this past year too. So for me, it broke down into working with the local schools. So Nova Scotia has a program called PAINTS, which stands for Professional Artists in the Schools. And so, cute. Yeah. So you have to apply with an idea and a workshop. And if they select you, then you're on the website. And twice a year, schools can go in and pick if they'd like you to do a workshop with their students. And so last year, I worked with 6 different schools, and unfortunately, because of COVID, it was all virtual, but mm-hmm. fortunately, because of COVID, it was all virtual, because Nova Scotia isn't huge, but you know, to drive from one end to the other, it's going to take some time. And so I got to work with schools that I never would have driven to. Like, it just wouldn't have been doable if I had to actually go physically. So it sort of opened it up to the whole province, as opposed to just like the three or four schools in my area, which was interesting. Doing it all virtually was also kind of interesting because, you know, it's like a hands-on visual thing, and they could see me, but I couldn't really see like what they were working on. I could see their faces sometimes, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? So it was weird, but it was a good little chunk of money. So that was good. And then the other thing, people sometimes get to know that you do stuff like that. And so another school reached out to me, and they had some students that were a little bit more less engaged in school, and they wanted to sort of entice them and give them something to look forward to. So they hired me to come in and do a weekly art class based on the things that they were interested in. And so that was, that was kind of cool. That was in person, even though it was in COVID. That was that. Yeah. So it's definitely been something that has added another layer to my practice for sure. And I do like it. I've thought about Skillshare a little bit, and I've thought about putting together some of my own courses. I don't know. I'm still, you know, all of these things take time and effort and work. So
yeah, I think a good example of that would, sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay. But, go ahead.
Not sorry. Art. She has like a little art school situation. And I really like her kind of package. She has like a series of like private YouTube videos. So you subscribe, she has like different sessions, but basically like you enroll in her painting school. Mm-hmm. I think she does do like a series of like live tutorials, and then you have access to this bank of YouTube videos, and she keeps adding to it year after year, and you never lose access. That said, the price of enrolling in the school goes up a little bit year after year because there's more available for you to access. So like, right. That's a really interesting model.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I don't know. All of these things, it just depends on you and what you like. I think ultimately what you're good at, what you like, what you want to do, because all of the behind the scenes stuff of the art practice that everybody knows who's listening, who's an artist, it can add up so quick, right? So I don't know. I kind of, back to my whole social media with the whole evergreen, I want evergreens. Like that's where I'm at personally. I'm like, what can I create that will have a shelf life of at least a year or two? I don't mean like forever, but mm-hmm. I love the idea of creating something that can be self-sustaining for a little while, because constantly creating stuff when you're also trying to create art, it's a lot sometimes. So,
oh my God, it's so much.
Right? Like we're sharing all this. Yeah, we're sharing all this because it might be for you. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my God, I just can't, it's okay. Like, it's totally fine. We're just talking about options here, right? Like, don't feel like you have to do everything. So anyway, okay. So that was that. We skipped over TikTok. Do you want to talk about that next?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on it because I don't know if like some people are aware of it, but there are things like the TikTok Creator Fund. It is not available to Canadians, but if you're listening in the US, the UK, France, Germany, Spain, or Italy, you could be eligible for the TikTok Creator Fund. And that is, they basically have like, I don't know, it's like $2-5 million or something like that, and they kind of divvy it up between creators who have at least 10,000 followers, at least 100,000 video views in the last 30 days, and an account that fits the TikTok community guidelines and terms of service. So I cannot imagine that it is a lot of money, but it is some money. And it's just interesting to think that, you know, moving forward, if that's something that they expand on or that they continue to follow through with, it's kind of nice just to think that like they are compensating people who bring people to the platform. And some of those people are making at least some money for what they create via social media. So that's kind of cool.
Well, American TikTokers kill me because they're like in my profile, it's their like Venmo or cash transfer app.
Yeah.
So it's like, screw TikTok, just send me. Like, all right, I like it. Good for you. Like, why not? If people are going to send you money and you're creating content and TikTok isn't going to give you, you know, more than peanuts or whatever, which I don't know what they give you, but whatever.
I don't think it's that much, but yeah.
You know, hey, if somebody loves you and wants to send you $100 directly, then boom, there you go, right? So,
yeah,
you
know. Don't be shy. Always just send people money. Just do it. PayPal me, Josh, JG Sackis.
Oh, my God, it's so funny. Well, I'm thinking about this now. Like, well, so back to the whole not for Canadians. So right here on our platform, we use Anchor FM. Anybody wants to start a podcast, Anchor FM is a tool you can use. And they have this link that says monetize, right?
I love that zero level of hype. We experience technical difficulties all the time. Anchor FM is a platform you can use.
You know what? It's not perfect, but honestly, it's been so, it's like push one button and you're done and it's on all the platforms, because I looked for a long time how to like get a podcast distributed, and there was a lot of steps. So yeah, it's glitchy sometimes, but at least it's like a one-stop shop, and I am grateful for that. So anyway, the point is, it says, you know, monetize, you can post ads on your what is this again? A podcast. Yeah. But not for you Canadians, of course. Yeah. So we're not able to do that. But hey, good news for you. No ads. Yay. All right. Anyway, totally off topic. What were we talking about? TikTok. Yeah. Okay. Is that all you have to say about TikTok?
Let's keep rolling.
All right. So next, I threw in the mix artist talks. So last year, I made money for doing an artist talk, which I was surprised.
No, you shouldn't be surprised. That I meant to put this on the list. Okay, continue what you're going to say, and then I'm going to drop a bomb on y'all. Go.
Yeah, drop a bomb. So I was included in these gallery shows, because they were doing everything, you know, above board, they're like, oh, yeah, and by the way, you're going to get, well, paid for being in the show and also paid for when we do the art talk. And I was like, and it's a set fee. So again, I don't know how it is around the world, but here in Nova Scotia, there's like standard fees when you do these things. And so they paid me for those. And that was like a nice little bonus, because I wasn't anticipating that. So there you go. And okay.
Do you feel comfortable sharing how much it was?
Yeah, it wasn't peanuts. Like, I think it was around
$322.
Yeah, like between three and four. I can't remember exactly. Sorry, 350 and four. It was up around there.
Yeah. Okay. So, ladies and gentledoms, listen up. Do you know what the Carfax minimum fee schedule is?
Carfax, that's what it was. Thank you. Yes.
So, if you are ever curious about what you should be charging, what you should be paid, you live in Canada, let me tell you, kiddos, you can just Google Carfax, C-A-R-F-A-C, Carfax minimum fee schedule, and it will tell you what you should be paid. Carfax is, I don't remember what the acronym is, but I have a feeling that it's Canadian Artists Something Federation.
Something like that.
But it'll tell you everything. We're talking how much you should be getting paid to have an exhibition, because you should be getting paid to have an exhibition somewhere. How much for licensing, for presenting work, for teaching a workshop, having a solo exhibition, a group exhibition, performance in a festival. We got screenings. We got multiple screenings. We got the scope of the exhibition. They really drill down into almost everything you can possibly think of. They update it every single year. Yeah, it's a really, really good resource. It's free to access it. You can join CARFAQ also if you want to. But that is 110% where they got that number from. And it is
Yeah.
such a delight to know that they are abiding by that because so many people don't. And I actually, with my teaching gig at the studio that I'm working at now, I cited it when I was trying to negotiate for a pay bump. I was like, listen, this is what you're paying. This is what the CARFAQ minimum fee schedule recommends for the work that you're asking me to do. So you think you're doing something, but you're not. So figure it out.
Yeah, no, I was surprised because it's a 1 hour talk, right? Like that's a nice little payout for a 1 hour talk, I thought. I was
But
quite happy with that.
extremely adequate, as it should be, because you work hard, you put a lot of effort in, you have expertise, you have something to share. Remember all of those things.
So then that was like in association with shows, but I also had an opportunity just as a hired speaker on an art platform. So that, and they paid me about the same again. So that was really interesting because I know that, well, Barack Obama gets like $400,000 for a speech. So
So, like,
I'm
you in
like,
that neighborhood is what
not
you
really comparable to that, but I'm saying like the speaking industry. Even if you're not Barack Obama, okay, there's like a market there. Like people hire speakers and they pay you to speak. So, if you like talking and it's a skill you can develop and you want to develop it, then I think there's probably ways to find opportunities to do more of that.
I mean, even if you go to college, if you attend a college, you'll have visiting artists, and they typically will give their visiting artist a visiting artist fee. Like, that's in the budget.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Next one.
Think the next one's you too. Lay it on me.
The next one is we're going to talk about online groups. Okay. So, online groups or communities, there are like membership groups. Actually, there are free ones too, but the ones I'm going to talk about are membership ones because these are the ones that make money. So, for example, there's one that I am a part of called the Art Queens. That's run by Katerina Popova. There's other ones. There's a podcast called Artist Mother Podcast, run by Kaylin Butine, and she has her own community that she charges a fee to be a part of. There's another artist called Louise Fletcher, and she has one called the Art Tribe. So they are providing resources. Everyone is different, so I can't speak to the ones I'm not a part of, but just from what we get in the Art Queens. So in the Art Queens, we have a group Facebook page, so everybody can chime in, share with one another, ask questions if you're stumped on something, if you want support with something, if you have a win of the week, you can share that there. It's just a really nice community. And then the secondary component to the platform is a little bit like what we talked about earlier with Skillshare. So we have our own website, and within, or like what you were talking about, Not Sorry Art. So we have our website, and when you're a member, you log in, and there's an ever-growing resource library. So she hires speakers to come in and give 1 hour presentations on a multitude of topics. And then you can participate in them live. And when you're in them live, it's a live Q&A. So the presenter presents. And then if you have a burning question that you want to ask, you're free to jump in and ask your questions. And then they're all recorded and they go into this library. So anytime you're looking up, you want something, a deeper dive on something, you can go to the library and find these resources to watch later. So you get the real-time support in this Facebook group, and then you get like on-demand support via these lectures. So basically you pay, so this is Katerina, who is the one who runs it. So she gets the monthly membership fees, and they can range anywhere from, so I think with our queens, I think it's very reasonable. It's like $20 a month,
Yeah, that's
approximately.
pretty good. Yeah.
20 to 30, somewhere in there. And some of them could be more expensive, less expensive. But
she pumps out content. I don't know how she has an art practice and then also all of this other like content that she aggregates. It's like a lot.
It's a lot. So she also has her art practice and she also has her podcast and she has her magazine. But you know what? She hires help. Like she hires designers to help her do the graphics and she hires, you know, admin people to help monitor the Facebook group. And like but you can do that when you're making some money, right? Like that's the thing.
Totally.
If you are the creator of a community and you have 100 members giving you $20 a month, you know, that's a nice little chunk that is dependable, right? Like you know it's going to be there. And once the community is created, it's fairly self-sustaining. But you're right. You know what? She's amazing. She's in there all the time chatting with everybody. And she's incredible. I give her a full – that's why I'm part of it, because I feel like she she's just a great mentor and she gives so much. She just gives and gives and gives. And for example, if you go, I'm not saying y'all should sign up for Art Queens. I'm not getting anything for talking about it. But if you sign up and you don't like it, you lose access to the website, but you're still part of the Facebook community forever. Like she never kicks anybody out of the Facebook community. So
that's awesome.
I know. It's really nice. So for me, having not gone to art school, being in my home studio in a tiny town, you know, I actively was seeking out ways to stay connected with people. And that has been one of the most incredible resources to me because I've made connections with artists literally around the world and people who are just so, and I think every community would be like this. Like the person who creates it, it has that vibe, right? So she has this, she doesn't have a scarcity mindset. She has an abundant mindset. Like there's enough to go around. There's enough for everybody. And so she really instills that in this community. And that's why it works for me. But you know what? Before I found it, I tried other ones. I tried like free ones on Facebook and they just weren't for me because it felt like, and it's so funny too, like I've never used like a dating app because, well, I've been married forever, but, but I always think like the Plenty of Fish that's free is, from what I hear, people on Plenty of Fish is like, oh my God, garbage. But if then
that still exists even? Oh my God.
I don't know.
We used to joke that it's plenty offish. Like plenty of people that are offish.
Yeah. And then there's other like premium. And I'm just like, look, if you're not willing to pay $30 a month to find the love of your life, then I don't got time to mess with you kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like if you can't invest a little bit in a platform that like weeds out some of the people who are just there to hook up, then, and so that's sort of like the free Facebook groups that I had joined. It was just like, everybody was just there to shout louder over each other and share like, look at my thing. And it wasn't for me. I preferred the paid opportunity because it just sort of weeds out people who aren't in the same mindset, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So, but on the flip side, if you are the artist, actually, you know what, Jade, this is interesting. So I was thinking in preparation and talking about online groups, I'm like, do we need an Art Okay Cool community?
I mean, I feel like as we grow, I would be into it.
I wonder if anybody else would be there. Like,
I don't know. I mean, we do have some listeners, right, guys? You're listening, right?
No, honestly, we're growing. That I was so excited this week because sometimes you go in and look at the analytics, and yes, like more people from around the world, more people in general, like our numbers every week. So I love that. That's so great. I'm glad that you guys are, you know, getting some value out of this. But I mean, it's something to think about. Maybe we do want an Art Okay Cool community down the road. Who knows, right? But it's definitely something to think about.
Agreed.
All right. Anything else about that?
No, let's move on to mural painting. You've got on there a little personal experience doing that as well, I think.
Yeah, I just threw that in because, well, I did one and I hadn't anticipated doing that. And that sort of came my way, but it was a nice little chunk. And back to your negotiating. Mm-hmm. So this was a community project and the town partnered with the people who owned the building. So the town was going to pay half and the people who were going to, who owned the building were going to pay half. Mm-hmm. And so they had their budget and they came to me with their budget. And I said, okay, well, let me think about it. And so I went off and did a little bit of research and I think that their budget was too low. So I negotiated and doubled what they were going to pay me.
Hell yeah.
Yay. Now, don't get me wrong. It's still, you know, like I'm not a mural painter. Some people are getting thousands and thousands and thousands, like multiple thousands for painting murals and they're professional mural painters. I was happy. It was my first mural. It was well worth my time. I didn't pay for any of my supplies and what they paid me was mine, like cash money. So I don't know, if you're a painter and you like that kind of thing, it might be worth looking in opportunities for that because there is money out there for it. And there's actually... Sorry, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say there's women I follow called Pander Design. And actually, they were the ones who have like a free download on pricing murals. Mm-hmm. And that I sort of followed their guidelines with what I was asking for because they do. They're like the big time mural painters. They're like, well, first of all, they're awesome. Two women, they're amazing. And their work is amazing and their business like blew up. So if you are a mural person or you're interested in murals, I would suggest going to check out Pander Designs. And I think it's P-A-N-D-R is how they spell it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, check them out.
And all I was going to say is you don't even necessarily have to be a painting artist to do murals. You can do things like vinyl. You can do things like paper with varnish. Like there are options. You don't have to just paint.
Oh my god, there's another woman I follow on Instagram and her name is Lace in the Moon. Mm-hmm. Lace in the Moon, Lace. And she crochets cool wall murals and then affixes them to the wall. They're That's so cool. Yeah. So yeah, See? You gotta be
Think outside the box, kiddo.
Be creative.
I'm anyway. Calling everybody kiddo today. What's happening? Ooh.
Okay. Next on our list.
Mastermind. What is a mastermind? I feel like you know about this, and this is why I put it on the list. It's just like mastermind stuff. I feel like people get money from that, right?
Well, let me tell you. So masterminds are groups, generally more intimate groups of people supporting one another, basically is a really superficial kind of dive into masterminds. And they can be just free, like if you want to set it up with a bunch of your friends and you meet once a week and you hold each other accountable and you talk about stuff and you talk about dreams and big ideas and stuff like that. Also, though, sometimes it can be led by someone. So it was interesting that you put it on the list because guess what I'm doing this month that we haven't actually talked about yet?
Are you doing one this month?
I'm leading my first mastermind, yeah.
Hey, what?
So I've called my little mastermind program the Artist Pep Rally. Because, you know, I think we should pep each other up and we're going to have a little squad, just like, you know, hype each other, cheer each other on. And so, yeah, we're just meeting once a week. We meet on Thursday nights and it's about an hour. And everybody, so different people can run their masterminds different ways. Here's what I'm doing in mind. So the six people that signed up, we have 60 minutes. And each person basically has 10 minutes. In their 10 minutes, they tell us like what's going well and also where they're stuck, where they have challenges, where they need support. And then the rest of us are brainstorming while they're sharing their stuff. And then they be quiet and listen to us. And we just throw all of our ideas. It's like a brain dump of everybody in the group because we all have diverse backgrounds. One of us is in the Philippines, some are in the States, I'm here, you know what I mean? Like, we're a really diverse group of artists, and so everybody has different knowledge to share, and so we share it all on the person. The person writes down all the notes, and then at the end of their 10 minutes, they're like, okay, based off everybody's feedback, here's what I'm going to work on this week. Cool. Move on to the next person. And then the next week, we, of course, come back and hold the person accountable. Like, did you do this? Did you do that? Whatever. So it's just a really supportive, loving environment to cheer each other on, share ideas, and hopefully have that even tighter knit. Like, the membership groups are great, but this is like a really tight, like, you really get to know each other. And then also during the week, we have a Instagram chat. So we're just chatting and sharing books and videos and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so that's how I do my Artist Pep Rally mastermind group.
And this is something that you're monetizing?
Oh, yeah. So there you go. Everybody who's in pays $100. I did amazing. Like a little intro sort of, I think $100 is like $25 a week, right? And I thought, okay, that's reasonable. And it'll give me a chance to see if it's something that I enjoy as much as I think I'm going to enjoy it. And I do. I freaking love it. It's so much fun. So I think I'm going to offer it again. I'm not sure if I'm going to do December just because of the holidays, but definitely in the new year. So anybody wants to be in a mastermind and you want to do it with me, give me a little DM, because I definitely will take a list of people who are interested. And I think I'll definitely do it again because it's a lot of fun. And yeah. Really, really good. And I mean, it's a good little source of income, right?
Yeah, that's super cool. I love that. That's a really great idea. I feel like there's so much that I love to do for people. Like, I love helping people. I love helping them write grants, edit grants, get their portfolio together, name things, brand things, all of that. But that is a lot of labor. I have a finite amount of time. That's something that, like, I can't necessarily prioritize. So I don't know, that might be a good place to put my helping feeling instincts.
It might be, because that's basically what you're doing.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And it's, and like, when, and what, the nice thing about a mastermind too is, like, yeah, you're the leader. Well, if you set it up, I mean, if you set it up, you would be the leader of your mastermind. And so you're guiding it and you're sharing your knowledge. But like, if somebody asks about something that you literally know nothing about, probably somebody else in the group does. So as much as it's on you, it's also like a, you know, it's a group effort. So, you know, it's kind of cool that way.
Well, what's interesting too, is like, I basically, without even knowing it, did that in college. And like, Kathleen, I know you're listening. Hello, Kathleen. You remember Accountability Buddies? And it was just like, it was a group of four or five of us. We would meet every week. We would talk about like all of our assignments, our projects, what we wanted to do, basically everything that you're doing.
How
we could help each other, keep each other accountable. And I think there was typically like a beer at the end of it. So it's like, wow, yeah, I technically have a lot of experience with that, because I forced all of my friends to do it with me for free. Yes,
so there you go. Another income source potential, right? Like, maybe that's something you want to do.
Love it.
Something to think about. Okay. Next is something you have on the list.
Crowdfunding. I'm getting loopy. Crowdfunding. What's crowdfunding? We've got Kickstarter. We've got Indiegogo. We've got other ones. Crowdfunding is more goal specific. It's about raising money for a specific thing. The two main platforms that I can think of right away, like I said, are Kickstarter, which is like kind of more project or thing based, like you're kickstarting a product that you want to sell to the world, whereas Indiegogo is more of a support me on this thing that I'm trying to raise money for, whatever it is.
Okay.
Have you done those? What's your...
I've like donated to people's stuff because back to our very first one, I like to do that. But usually I think the one that I'm most common with that I've donated the most on is GoFundMe.
Oh yeah, that's the other one. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, GoFundMe. So yeah, I'm familiar with those and I think they're cool. I think it's a nice way to do something, especially if you are working towards a very specific target for a specific project.
Yeah. And so I have used them in the past. I think I've probably done three of them. And for me, the reason why I've done them twice, it was because I got a scholarship to take a workshop at the Corning Museum of Glass. So it's a half scholarship. So that is, I think, $1,500, or it would have been about $1,500 at the time. But I still needed to pay the other $1,500 plus travel, et cetera. So Really great opportunity. Obviously, broke college student, did not have that money. So I decided to do a GoFundMe, Indiegogo, whatever. And both times I reached my goal and exceeded it. Which is fantastic, very heartwarming, very lovely to feel supported. These platforms do take fees. And then also this is kind of like another tiered situation where you can like give different things to different levels of donation, et cetera. I didn't love that part, not because I don't want to give people something, but it's just like a lot of, I don't know. It's like a lot of extra work. And for me, it's like very, it made me very anxious. And I know for a fact, like I feel like a horrible goblin because I know that there are people out there who donated who I never got the things to, like whether like they didn't follow up on emails I sent them or it just like never happened, never transpired. And then like my anxious brain was just like, ha, 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 it's been too long. They hate me. Everybody hates me. The world hates me. And like, for some reason, you donated to one of my crowdfunding things and I didn't give you the thing. Like, just email me. I'll give you everything. I'll give you my firstborn. I'll give you my left kidney. Like, please, I'm so sorry. I'm so anxious. Oh my God. It stresses me out to think about bumping into you on the street. And then I would just like lay down at your feet and be like, step on me. I'm
oh my so God.
Sorry. I didn't send you a paperweight.
Okay. You need to let that go. Everybody's fine. You're fine. It's all good. You don't need to give it another thought. Anybody who didn't get their paperweight, it's all good. You survived. It's totally fine.
I made it out through the other side.
She shares generously on this podcast all of her wisdom and knowledge every week. So there, she's doing good in the world. Be happy for her.
Thank you.
Oh my God. So all funny.
To say that they can be a really valuable
except for they give me eternal anxiety. But other than that, they're great.
Except I will go my entire life feeling bad about it. Anyway.
Oh my God, Jade. It's too much. You're freaking hilarious. Okay, so yeah, I have no other than look, you have something good. Put it up there. I think there are people who want to support you. I know I've supported lots of things, so.
Yeah, and it does feel great to know that there are people out there who believe in you, who support you. People want to help you, whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, people want to help you. And if you give them an easy way to do that, a lot of the times they will. And that's really nice.
Yeah, I think like back to the coffee thing a little bit too. Like if you can make it easy for people, then great, right? And that's a tool that can make it easy or easier anyway. So yeah, I think it's a good one.
Yeah. And then the last thing on our list,
but definitely not least,
we got merchandising. Put a burn on it.
Right. Yeah. So merchandising, turning your art into other stuff like sweaters and scarves and blankets and mugs and puzzles and posters and calendars. All that. Yeah. So we've talked about this before privately. I'd like you to kick it off. Go ahead. What do you want to say about it?
So I think that this can be dangerous territory, but it can also be really amazing. And the reason I say that is it can be dangerous territory because you could do something like go to a website like, I don't want to be a dick here, but Society6, upload your digital file and then have them do shitty prints and shitty shower curtains and throw pillows and deck cushions. And that's fine. Again, that's a very easy way to set things up. No shade if that's what you do. I have Society6 prints from artists that are kind of trash, but I love having them and I love being able to support the artist. So I think that's one end of it. And the other end of it is you can be really thoughtful and really intentional about how you bring these merchandise objects into the world. And I think that it can be really lovely because if you are working at a higher price point, like say a Celine Gabrielle, who's selling her work for thousands of dollars right out of the gate, having prints, that makes it really accessible to own one of her pieces. You know, maybe an artist who I think does a really good job of this is Alex Grant. I've spoken about her on the podcast before. She has prints, she has stickers, she has clothing. She's got a really good eye for it. I feel like what she does is really intentional. It broadens her practice, it makes those things accessible, it gives her audience a way to connect to her without buying her actual physical art, which is out of reach for a ton of people.
And I'm going to jump in here because I'm so glad you brought her up, because I actually just listened to a podcast with her not that long ago. Oh. And what I find so interesting, and the part that I'm still trying to figure out myself, is I want to be a fine artist. And there seems to be a lot of gray area in the art world as to, you know, oh, well, if you sell stickers, then you're not a fine artist. But if you sell limited edition prints, that's okay. But if you sell open, oh, then that's, you know, lowbrow or whatever. But she's breaking all the fucking rules because she is in top galleries. She has multiple shows a year. She sells out her shows a year, but then she also sells stickers and all this other
stuff. The year before we did the artist project, she literally won People's Choice at the artist project. Couldn't do the fair our year because she was booked and blessed, like had too much going on. Like, so she couldn't take her free booth at the artist project because she was just like,
wow,
being the most successful person in the world. Like, so good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's so funny because, and sure, some people, and this is the other thing too, like I heard this recently this week because, you know, I listened to 1001 podcasts and stuff and a lot of art stuff. And somebody was like, oh, it was like a curator or an agent or somebody talking on one of these podcasts. And like, oh, you know, some collectors won't want certain artists' work if they sell to a lot of celebrities. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, celebrities, come on over here then. Like, I'll take you. If that person doesn't want to be associated with an artist who sold to celebrities, like, you know what I mean? There's so you're never going to please everybody. I think that's it. You're never going to please everybody. There's always going to be some art world snob that thinks that what you're doing isn't classy enough for them. And there's going to be other people who love and adore you because you're making your art accessible. So I don't know. I think it depends on who you want as your customers or as your lovers, supporters, followers, friends. You know, it's who do you want to connect with your art, because you're going to get different people depending on what you offer.
Totally.
So, yeah. So for me, like right now, so I sell my originals and I sell limited edition fine art prints because I wanted to stay in this realm of high quality or whatever. Or this is the era I'm trying to go for. Or not era. It's legit. Like I do think it's, you know, good stuff. But then I was like, okay, I'm not going to do all this other stuff. But now, again, the longer I'm in this world, the more I'm like second guessing myself and like, why would I or why wouldn't I? So there's just a lot of questions I think you have to ask yourself, and there's no right or wrong answer.
Right. I believe that. I think that you just have to find your voice and find your way. And like, it can be like sticky trying to figure out what you want to do. And like, for me, because I can't necessarily make prints, or it doesn't make sense to make prints of the work I make, or maybe it does, who knows, whatever. One of the things that I grapple with, also wanting to be somebody who's considered a fine artist, wants to be in that realm. I want to make one $1,000 sale, not 10 $100 sales in a perfect mm-hmm. world, you know? I struggle with like, do I want to have like a home goods line that's branded differently? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? Like, when I make my like goofy little jewelry things, do I want to put space in between my fine art practice and those things, or blah, 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 you know? So it's tricky, and you just have to kind of like figure it out on your own, which isn't helpful, but we support you. Just keep doing it. Test the waters. You'll figure it out.
I think the more of us who just do whatever the fuck we want, the better. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Yep.
Because the artists that I look up to and admire are the Alex Grants, you know, the people who are just doing it and being successful with it, because she is not following the quote unquote fictional wishy-washy rules. She's just doing what is working for her, and it's working for her.
So. And if you don't know her, the work is good. Like, the work is phenomenal. It's innovative. It's amazing. It's well done. Like, she's got a lot of license to like really just run with her stuff, because it's just so blatantly amazing.
Yeah, totally. Alrighty. So there you go, people. Lots of options. Go make that money.
Get that bread.
All right. Super cool. Jade, what is super cool this week?
Okay. So my super cool is probably super not cool, but it's cool because I'm trying to learn how to take care of myself better, and self-care is cool, kiddos. How many times did I say kiddos? I just like it. It's fun. Okay. So my super cool this week is, again, something I found on TikTok, guys. What do I do with my life? I just scroll endlessly through TikTok. So for me, you, Celine, seem like somebody who is capable of keeping their house clean and keeping their life together. I, on the other hand, really struggle. My upbringing, I was like raised by a single mom who was a teen mom. It was me and my older brother and my mom. And then after she met my stepdad, it was us and then their kids. And we were in a small house, lots of people, everybody worked weird shifts. So in terms of like housekeeping, cleaning, keeping things organized, I lived and grew up in like just ultimate chaos, like all the time. And we're not talking like hoarder house situation here, but we're just talking like a tiny home with six people in my family. And then my older brother and I, like, we always had a stray. Like, we had a stray friend, like somebody who needed a place to stay. And my mom was always the person that was like, yeah, that's fine. Sure. Whatever. Eight people in our three bedroom house. Cool. Absolutely. So with that said, like, I never had chores. I never had a rhythm. It's not something that comes naturally to me, like cleaning and keeping things in order. I feel like I keep things like not disgusting. Like, my house isn't dirty, but it is like a collection of chaotically organized piles. So I am trying to learn how to do things better. And my super cool this week is a thing that I'm trying out. I don't know if it's super cool yet, but I do think it's super cool that it's out there. And it's called the flylady.net, fly lady cleaning method.
I love her. Yeah. She's so good.
Yeah, so I heard about it on TikTok and I was like, okay, let me get into this a little bit. And like, it seems that I'm just starting. This will be my first week, and it seems like a small task that you can do every day that takes like 10 minutes or 10, 15 minutes. It's a different task every day, a different section of your house every week. And it just like kind of teaches you how to get into the rhythm of like keeping your house in order.
Yes. She's awesome.
So you know about this? What do you know about it? Because I know that I just told you everything I know.
Okay. So I had a friend introduce her to me many years ago when my kids were little, right? Because that was the most chaotic time in my house. And you're right. She just breaks it down in this like super simple day by day kind of method so that you're always cycling through everything and it makes it manageable. So, I mean, I wouldn't say at this point in time that I'm following like it, her plan step by step or anything, but especially if you're saying like it's something that you want to get better at and maybe you were never given the tools to have like a system and you like systems, I think she's awesome.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's great. See, super cool.
It is super cool. I don't know who needs to know, but and then honestly, also just a little ties in back to our monetizing because she started out. So I think my friend told me about her when like my kids are teenagers. So I'd say, geez, like 10 years ago, maybe like she's been going a long time. Yeah. And so if you go to her website, she's monetizing all kinds of stuff. Download this, book that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing it too. So anyway, that's just a side note off of your thing. But yeah, no, I'm curious to hear how that works out for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's like I get so overwhelmed with the infinite amount of things that you can do to keep your house in order. And like, without ever having somebody in my life who is like, here are your assigned tasks for the day, please do them. Yeah. It's hard to be that person for myself.
Yeah. I get that.
So yeah, I'm like, I'm looking forward to having that to try. And yeah, I like how it's bite-sized. So I'm not like Marie Kondoing my life where I'm like taking every article of clothing in my house and putting it into a pile and holding it to see if it tells me that it loves me. Like I'm that is my nightmare.
I think the Fly Lady is having maybe like a new resurgence on TikTok because it's so funny. I saw a video about her, somebody doing one of her things. And one of her things is like getting yourself put together in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that now, that's the funniest thing. That's probably the thing I struggle with most. Like I've lost completely my sense of style since I've been at home, working from home. And then COVID lockdown, like I never leave even my my property. You know what I mean? Like, so I've sort of saw that little video and I remember that was, and I'm like, yeah, you know, that's not a bad idea. Cause you just feel so much better when you like, you know, do your hair, put on something nice, but then I get covered in paint. So then I'm like, oh, I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Off on a tangent there, but yeah. So cool. I like it. Super cool.
I'm glad that you know about it and you have positive feelings. What is your super cool this? I'm going very slowly for you so you can have more time.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't have a prepared super cool. So I was trying to think like while we were getting ready, what can I talk about that would tie back into our topic? And I came up with it. Genius. Okay. This year, 2021, I think I've talked about it on the podcast multiple times. I got really serious about like my art and my art practice both the making of the art and the monetization, you know, because I want to be able to have a career, not just a hobby. That's my goal. So anyway, one of the things that I did that I would suggest, since we're getting close to a new year in particular, is I wrote down literally every single thing that I got money for that was related to my art practice. Exactly. Because I think when you're self-employed, especially as an artist, you can like forget, like back to those art talks. Like that's how I know that I got paid for those, because I wrote that down. I wrote down every print I sold, every painting I sold, every little thing that gave me money, I wrote it down. And so it's just really nice as the year goes on to be able to see, and back to one of our other podcasts talking about goals, like I did set a financial goal for this year. And so I could see when I was getting close, when I was almost there, when I hit, you know what I mean? Like that sometimes is really, really, really helpful. So I don't know. I think it's super cool if you're trying to monetize and grow your practice in a financial way to keep that running list every month, every time you get money directly from your art practice, keep a running total.
That's probably good for like taxes too, I guess.
Well, I think it's good for that too. I mean, we should be doing it anyway, but let me tell you, I think things would slip through the cracks if I hadn't done that. And I also think it's good because we forget things. Like you sell a print to a friend or whatever, and they actually pay you, which is great because your friend should be paying you. But anyway, you know, they pay you cash and you put in your wallet. And if you didn't write it down, you might not keep track, or I don't know, like just stuff happens. And I think you then maybe think you don't hit a target when actually you did hit a target or whatever. I don't know. I just think that this year I spent a lot of time tracking, not just the money, like a lot of things, but the money was definitely, important to me and worth tracking. And I think it might be something that everybody else might want to do as well.
Agreed. I think that's really cool. We're going to wrap it up. I want to remind everybody that our next book club is Chromophobia. Really great book, very heavy, very academic, but we're making our way through it. We're doing a good job. We would love it if you can rate, review, subscribe, let us know how you're feeling, send us a voice message on Anchor FM, let us hear your voices, send us a DM. If you rate us 5 stars, we're going to share some of your artwork. We're going to talk about you on the podcast. We love to hear from you all.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.